Scripture reading will be from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and the third chapter, verses 14 through 17, is from the King James Bible, and the Word says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I am called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works.
It is a blessing for us to be here as we are here worshiping God in spirit and in truth, especially those of us who are members of the Lord's church here. We're thankful for those who are visiting with us. I want to let you know you are indeed an honored guest. We're thankful for you being here on this morning. We're talking about evangelism as the people of God here, and what we mean by that is going out, teaching, and preaching, going out, demonstrating the love of God, demonstrating the gospel of Jesus Christ, and also teaching about the kingdom of God, which is the Lord's church, the church of Christ. And Brother Brian, on last week, talked about evangelism's purpose. And on this week, we're going to be talking about evangelism, but we're going to focus in on the home. Evangelism begins at the home. If you're visiting with us, you see the QR code to my right. You'll actually see the notes that we'll be going by here on this morning. I like to give these particular notes, and what it does, it keeps me from having to go over all of the information. And so, if you will, you can point your device to the QR code as you would in a restaurant or wherever you would see a QR code, get the notes, and then you'll be able to see what we're talking about. When we consider one of the works of the church, one of the works of the church, of course, is evangelism. We understand that there are a few works of the church. The other two, we understand them to be benevolence and edification. Benevolence as in helping those who need help, whether in the church or outside of the church, 2 Corinthians 9:12, but also edification, building up. And when we think about building up, we're talking about encouraging one another. Well, the home is no different. And when we think about our aim as the people of God is to demonstrate the love of God and the saving grace of Almighty God to the church, to the world. And when we think about this, we understand that one of the greatest works that we can be involved in is going out, teaching and preaching and demonstrating Christ in us, the hope of glory. When I consider Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, I think about why was the church created? In Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, Paul, as he is talking to the church at Ephesus there, you look at verse number 8, you drop all the way down to verse number 10, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone, any man should boast. And notice verse number 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When I think about evangelism, teaching, instructing those who are on the outside, friends, it's just as important as instructing those on the inside, inside your home. It's a great work to instruct your family. Whether you are married, whether you are married with children, without children, whether you are single, whether you are divorced, whether you are a widow or a widower, you have a responsibility to ensure that the Word of God is in your heart, and maybe you have guests over, maybe you have family members, maybe you have grandchildren, maybe you have aunts and uncles. Your responsibility is to demonstrate Christ and Him crucified in your life. That's your responsibility. And you do that, we do that rather, according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, that our Father in heaven is glorified. And so when I think about all of the opportunities we have, and as Jesus would teach his disciples to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, Mark 16, 15, 16. Or upon resurrection in Matthew 28, verse number 1, we see in verse number 18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We have a responsibility to do that. We have a responsibility to support the gospel as it goes out. 3 John 5 to 8. And when we stop and we consider these things even more, the home is responsible for doing that, but also the spiritual leaders of the home have the responsibility of ensuring that the gospel is taught to their families. The more I was considering that, I thought about as a young father and the responsibility I had to ensure that my children knew the gospel, that they saw Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That they saw a husband and wife, a mother and father that are actually demonstrating Christ in their lives. What a responsibility we have, friends. And so I chose Timothy. And the reason why I chose Timothy, because you can see in his life, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 through the end of the chapter, you see something beautiful about Timothy. You go back to the book of Acts, chapter 16, really 15 and following, and you'll see Timothy as he had a mother, a grandmother, and how they instilled godly principles within him. How they took the law of Moses and they instilled the law of Moses within him. How they took the gospel and they instilled the gospel within him, and it is demonstrated in his lifestyle. Number one, I want, as you look at your notes, it begins with genuine faith. It begins with familial faith. It begins in the family, friends. If you will, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Appreciate our dear brother reading that in our hearing. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, notice what the Bible here communicates to us. Paul tells Timothy, after understanding that he had some difficulties in his life, especially as a gospel teacher and minister, understood that he had something within him. If you notice, we'll start at verse number 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance, notice this, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And notice what he says, I am persuaded that it is in you also. When I was considering this and thinking about how evangelism begins at home, it begins with genuine faith in the parents, the grandparents, the caretakers. The more I was considering that, I was thinking, what a beautiful thing for us as the people of God, as those who are in authority in the home, to ensure that we fill our minds with the Word of God. That we spend time peering into the Word of God. That we understand Romans 10 and verse 17, rather, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Friends, the only way you can have faith is by the word of God. No word of God, no faith. Period. Point blank. That's it. And when I think of the premier verse of the Bible as it relates to the substantiation, the building up, the holding up of faith, friends, it's the word of God. No word of God, no faith. And so when I considered that, it made me think about what was influencing the grandmother and the mother. It was the word of God. The word of God influenced them, and then they were able to influence Timothy. Friends, it begins familial.
It begins in the family. And we see something about this great man of God, Timothy. He learned it from his grandmother. He learned it from his mother. He actually took in the word of God. And if you consider, notice what Paul says. He says, I'm persuaded that it is in you also. But he said something about his faith. He said it was genuine. It was sincere. It was unfeigned. It was pure. It was right. There's one thing to hear instruction from your parents. There's another thing to accept the instruction. Just because you have good parents doesn't mean you got good children. And just because you have bad parents doesn't mean you have bad children. Everyone is going to stand before God by themselves. Ezekiel 18. We understand that the soul that sinned, it shall die. I stopped a long time ago saying, well, you know what? Something must have been wrong, went wrong in the parenting. That's not absolutely true. Sometimes you can have good parents, but just bad children. We see that even in scripture. But sometimes you can have good parents and bad children. You can have good, bad children and good parents. Or, oh, thank you. No, but I'm trying to fix that in my own mind. But sometimes you can have good children and bad parents. It goes both ways. But when I think about evangelism, teaching, instruction, it begins with us as parents and grandparents. And so look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. Not only is it a familial faith, family faith, it has to be a fundamental faith. We have to have something to build upon, if you will. In verse number 14, if you take notice of what Paul tells Timothy here, he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. There's some fundamentals that we have to all learn. If we're going to go out and teach and preach the gospel, we ourselves must have the gospel within us, but we must begin with the family and it must continue with the fundamentals. If you learn it, do it. Look at verse 15. And he said, and from childhood, you have known the holy scriptures. Notice the scriptures and what he calls them. He calls them holy scriptures. Notice what the scriptures are able to do. Make you wise for salvation. Which are able to make you wise for salvation. God's word is able to make us wise. Since God's word is able to make us wise, parents, grandparents, let's do all that we can to actually spend time with our children, thus giving them the fundamentals of the faith. Which means that we have to invest in our children. Yes, our children must invest in their own spirituality as well. Which means that we are persuading and convincing them to do what? Trust me. Trust the word. Trust that God's word is designed for your good always. Deuteronomy 6:24. I know myself, I was talking to a brother on the phone this morning. We was talking about some of these points. And I need y'all to hear this point. Because I couldn't put my finger on it when I was rearing my kids until I got older. How is it that someone can be in the Bible as much as I was? Yet when it came to actually translating that, now Maya may disagree with this, but this is the way I see it. Translating it, I just didn't feel comfortable always having Bible study with my children. I didn't feel comfortable. And I used to be upset with myself. I really wanted to invest more and we would have Bible studies, devotionals, singing, but I still didn't feel comfortable. But then I figured out what it was, Brother Brian. It felt awkward. But things feel awkward, and I use the word feel on purpose, because you're not in the practice of it. Sometimes when we're not in the practice of reading the scriptures for ourselves or studying the scriptures for ourselves, or we spend so much time on hobbies and habits that when it's time to actually sit down with the family and actually instill, invest in them the word, the will, and the ways of God, it feels awkward. It does feel awkward. But let me say this with a smile. The more you do it, the less awkward it is. I wish I could give the invitation now, because I believe some parents are in that boat even today. Brother Mike, I just don't know where to start. Start. Just start reading with your children. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They may not understand nothing you're saying, but they're hearing it. And you may not understand exactly what's being communicated with what you're starting with, but at least you're hearing it as well. And then over a period of time, Proverbs 4 and verse number 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding comes. It just takes time. Perhaps you're a grandparent. And, well, I didn't do that with my children, but I got grandchildren. It's like God gave me a second chance. He did. Let's go. Let's get after it. But why? Because there's a fundamental foundation. It's the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, notice the end of the text. Through faith. Faith coming by hearing. Brother Mark, hearing by the word of God. I don't have time to be picking up every single literature out there. When I have this, I can pick up and I can read and I can apply it. Friends, I know some of these self-help books are good. I understand some of these commentaries that we pick up may be giving you some enlightenment. But there's nothing about the pure word of God coming from the pages of inspiration. There's nothing like it. And when your children see you pick up this pure word of God, and you're reading the word of God, you demonstrate respect. You teach them how to sit down and listen to the pure word of God. Respect the word of God. Why? God is speaking. And when God speaks, men ought to sit down and listen. It's not the time for your children to be ripping and running, jumping all over pews and stuff like that. Listen to the word of God. Why? Because from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. Notice where the faith is. In Christ Jesus. That's where it is. And so, it's a familial faith. It's a fundamental faith. But it's a following faith. Go to Acts 16. In Acts 16, which is the background of Timothy's life. And the more I thought about this, here you have Lois and Eunice, his grandmother and his mother, and they instilled the right principles within his life. His father was a Greek. We don't know more about him. We don't know that much about him, rather. However, we do know this. His mother and grandmother were spiritual individuals. They influenced Timothy. Timothy was a young man, and he followed after them. But it's because of the respect that he had for them. And the respect that he had for the word of God. Here come a godly man, the apostle Paul. Here, I need Timothy. I need him to go with me. Here, go with him. And he did. Look at verse 2. Here we see that Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren. I know some people that are not well spoken of. Now, let me say this. Just because you're not well spoken of doesn't mean that you're not a good brother. Jesus said in Luke 6:23, woe unto you if all men speak well of you anyway. So, you know, people are like, well, you know what, he really don't have a good name and all that. Well, that depends on who you ask. Jesus Christ was on the cross. Man did nothing wrong. In between two thieves. Crucified him, beat him like he was a slave. Worse than a slave. Friends, be careful. Yet this man here, this boy here, if I could say it that way, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Now notice verse 3, Paul wanted to have him go with him. What did he do? He took him, circumcised him because of the Jews and who were in the region, for they all knew his father was Greek. I want to make a point here because of Timothy's foundation
and his grandmother and mother teaching him the things that he needed to be taught, he was willing to become all things to all men that some may be won. You know, when you're following the gospel, when you're following the word of God, when you're actually doing that which is right, you don't mind following them that follow Christ. We ought to be teaching our children and grandchildren. Need to you to keep your spiritual eyes open. You only follow those who are following Christ. Amen? Well, how do I know that, Mom? Dad, how do I know that? T-Paul, how do I know that? It's right here. How much time are you spending with your children and grandchildren? We can spend time with them on the ball field. We can spend time with them doing all manners of whatever. But how much time are you spending with them with that which really matters? Evangelism begins at home. Point two, the beauty of God's system. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, notice what the Bible here records for us. And it is important for us to get this point. Why? Because there are two scriptural things we want to talk about. We want to talk about that which is scripturally sourced and then that which is scripturally empowering. Notice the scriptural source. All scripture. Not some scripture, friends. All scripture. All graphe, all writings is inspired by God. The word inspired literally means, Brother Leon, God breathed. Literally, it's the idea that when God speaks, breath comes out. Jesus would say in Matthew 4 and verse number 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Jesus understood the word of God. He read the word of God, respected the word of God, bowed down to the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Literally, it is helpful. It is useful. It has an economy to it that I can actually use it for my good. When we're talking to our children, when we're talking to our grandchildren, when we're talking to our nieces and nephews, when we're talking to our family, we ought to impose upon them the usefulness of the word of God. It's useful. Paul, I'm sorry, the psalmist would say in Psalm 119 and verse number 105, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my pathway. It guides the way. It leads. Maybe you're visiting with us and you like to lean on your own understanding because you think you're smart. It doesn't matter how smart we are. We will never be in a point, 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 15 to 16, to instruct God. We need him. He instructs us. Evangelism begins at home because we are teaching our children, lean upon God, not your own understanding. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. The word correction there literally means for improvement in life. People want a good life, but they just don't want to improve in order to have it. God's word, it helps us to improve. It helps to improve our thinking, our feeling, our acting. It instructs us in righteousness. Literally, it trains us how to think, how to feel, how to act. You know, there's no need of us going out teaching and preaching, especially as men, brethren, if we're not doing it at home. We got to teach at home. We have to be the type of men, type of people, type of leaders, type of influences in the home that we're saying, okay, I need to teach mine. There's a point that I want to make. And I'm reminded of an old story that a old preacher, Evelyn, said. I believe it was at Laura Street back in the day. We was at a gospel meeting. And the preacher, Brother Brian, was up there preaching. He was wailing away, talking about evangelism, going out, seeking and saving the lost. That brother said, you know, let me talk to the men real quick. Talk to the fathers, the grandfathers. Let me talk to y'all real quick. He said, there's no need of going to El Salvador if you haven't went next door. Next door where? In your house. The next room. Men sit there and they plan these great mission trips. Nothing wrong with that. Buy the fare and get all the support to get going. And next thing you know, they get the ticket, get on the plane, go across the seas, teach, preach the gospel. Come back home, won't say nothing to the kids about Jesus Christ, moral living, uprightness. Why are you going to El Salvador? You ain't went next door. I just thought that was a good story. That was good. And brethren, we need to go next door. Now, I'm not talking about your next door neighbor. I'm not talking about the guy down the street. I'm not talking about the one that lives across the way. I'm talking about in your house. Question. Who's teaching in your house? God's word is God breathed. He respected the scriptures. It's scripturally sourced, but it's also scripturally empowering. Look at verse number 17. In verse 17, if you take notice of the scripture, notice what he says, that the man of God, that the Christian, that the husband, the father, the wife, the mother, the child, the guest, the one that desires to submit his will to God's will, may be complete. The word complete there literally means fit for learning. I thought about that. That the man of God may be fit for learning. God's word is designed to help us to be fit for learning. Here we understand that the righteousness of God, Brother Brian, is in the gospel. The power of God to save. But what are we talking about, the righteousness of God? Are we talking about right living only? No, sir. No, ma'am. We're talking about justification. Being declared right. What does it mean to be declared right? Well, it's as if you have never sinned before God. The only way that we can be declared right before God, and Brother Brian, as you was going through those great illustrations and then those stats, I wonder how many of us really appreciated that. Because Jesus is one time for all time, sacrifice for sin, helps us, aligns us, positions us to be declared right before God and God only. Amen. Without the blood of Christ, we cannot be declared right. Without the blood of Christ, God cannot declare us right. Even those who are under the old covenant, for the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, could not justify, could not declare man right. We needed the blood of Christ, which includes the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news, the glad tidings. What am I teaching my children? I need to teach my children that God, through his son Jesus Christ, is the only one that declare you right before him. And you got to do what Jesus says, who has all authority because God the Father gave it to him. And when you do what he says, come in contact with the blood of Christ, then and only then you're declared right before God. Brother Paul, at least she's saying amen. At least we got one saying amen, and she got to walk out now. It's still true. It's true, brethren, that the only way we can be declared right is by the blood of Christ, through the gospel of Christ. And this is what empowers us. If you notice what he says in the text, as I come to a close, the last point is yours. He says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fit for learning, complete, thoroughly, through and through, equipped for every good work. Every good work? Friends, evangelism begins at home. The home front is a good work. I guarantee you, maybe you haven't been the best father, mother, maybe you haven't been there. You can start today. You can do it now. Maybe you haven't been talking to your children and your grandchildren about morality and upright living and doing what is right. Why? Because it's good to do what is right. Not because God is imposing upon you and want to make your life hard. Actually, God wants your life to be the best life. John 10 and verse number 10. He wants you to have the abundant life. And therefore, if you apply his word to your life, you'll be the better for it. Your children can actually be a legacy of morality, and that good name of Jesus Christ can live on through your people. I'll be honest with you, I don't care about the name Bonner. It can die with me, but I care about the name Jesus. Oh, I care about the name Christian. I care about that name. Because I might not even be sure I am a Bonner. But I do know this, I'm sure I'm a Christian. Because I did what the Father said in order for me to become one. Maybe you're not a child of God. And you haven't been instilling God's word into your child's life. Well, should you feel shame about that? Perhaps. But let me help you to feel good about it. You can stop that now and start something different now. Because God is the God of hope. God is the God of second chances. He's the God of redemption. Friends, family, if you truly want to be the God, the people that God will have you to be, and actually live under the banner of God's fellowship, and be a people who are not ashamed of the gospel, be parents, grandparents, be caretakers, be influencers in your home, if you truly want to be that. Friends, it's going to require you spending some time in this book. It's going to require you asking your children to trust you. I remember on one occasion when I had to ask my youngest son, 16 years old, I said, son, I just need you to trust me in this. I didn't want to make him trust me. I need you to trust me in this. I said, do you trust me? He said, I trust you. I said, okay, just trust me in this. But then I need to make sure, Brother Eli, that I didn't break the trust. You know what God is teaching us through his son? He said, just believe me. Just trust me. Well, then who do I need to believe and trust? Jesus Christ. Well, here comes Jesus. And now, Jesus, I want to trust God. What do I need to do? You need to hear the gospel. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Jesus commanded that. He says, if you want to believe God, believe also in me. Believe also in me. Friends, I truly believe that we can do some great work. But before we go to El Salvador, let's make sure we go next door. Because then when you go next door, you don't mind or feel guilty when you get to El Salvador and you start preaching to other people. And then here come their kids and you're studying with their kids and you think about your kids at home. I ain't spending no time with them. No. My first responsibility is to my family. And then the world. In that order. Let's have a word of prayer. The lesson will be yours. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we know that you are a great God, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the love you have blessed us to experience here at the Lord's Church here at 9th and Main. We ask the Father you be with all the parents, grandparents, caretakers, those who influence our families for righteousness. Father, we just want to be justified in your sight. We know that the only way that that takes place is through your scheme of redemption, your plan for saving mankind. Pray to Father that we'll get to know that plan. For we know that that plan includes the man, Christ Jesus. Pray to Father that we'll humble ourselves and be the best parents, grandparents, influencers in our homes as possible. And not to allow outside influences to take away the minds of our children and grandchildren, yea, even one another as husband wives. We ask the Father that you forgive us when we fall short. Help us to always remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. And we're so thankful that we're not under that system where we have to be knee deep in blood of the animals, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, one time for all time sacrifice, we can approach you. We can humble ourselves towards you. And you can be pleased with us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a child of God and you need to do better, you need to be a better parent. First, it starts with you. I admitted to you some of my faults. I made up my mind that it won't be an awkward thing with my grandchildren. Amen. Once the sinner, not always the sinner. Once a wrongdoer, not always a wrongdoer. We can actually make things right and stay on the right path. And then we can go out and seek and save the lost. But we got to start with those who are innocent in our own homes and the lost in our own families. And I believe we'll be able to save many souls if we just start there. As we stand, as we sing our Savior's invitation.